Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle here with me, and we would like to introduce a very special guest. We kind of teased it a little bit last week, but this is a good friend of mine, someone that I've known since college, so it's been quite a while.
Well, that's a long time ago, I guess.
Huh? I know. You keep reminding me how old I am, but I'm not 50 yet like some people in here.
I'm just wiser, that's all.
So I'd like to introduce a special guest. He was introduced to me as Jonathan Poon's brother. So for a long time, and this is like multiple years, I thought that he was legitimately Jonathan Poon's brother, which now I know he wasn't. And for a long time, I actually thought, okay, Jonathan, the rest of his siblings look exactly like him. And okay, I'm going to, Josh, my friend Josh, who's here, doesn't look like him. So what is going on with it? And now I know why. I know exactly why. But so basically, for a long time, you know, Jonathan Poon is my brother-in-law. And my friend Josh, he works right next to my sister. So basically, we could just say he's a brother-in-law too.
He's part of the family.
Yeah. He's part of the family too. So welcome to the show, Josh. And Josh has a last name, so I want him to introduce his last name too, because I don't want to butcher it. So welcome to the show, Josh.
Thanks for having me. Last name is Monotoa, so... You know, it sounds easy. Just don't try to read it. Don't try to read it.
Don't try to spell it.
Yeah. Don't even do all that.
All right. So, you know, with many of our first time guests, we ask the question, what has God been highlighting to you recently? So, Josh, what has God been teaching you recently?
God's been teaching me specifically this past year, mentorship. Usually when we think about it, I thought I was going to be mentoring, like, specifically at the church, like, with people that we're going to bring for the next generation of the church. But it's been more so, like, of my own community. Mm-hmm. So, like, at work, and then even, like, some of my own friends' kids. And so it's been teaching them different things about worship, about dynamics, logistics, or even answering questions about different situations that they may encounter. And so... it's been humbling myself instead of saying, you know, these guys don't know anything. Because, you know, when you're growing up, when you're serving too, like when you're young, you're like, I know better than the old people. I know better than the pastor. You know, I'll do things better than what they did. You know, God chose me. But during that whole time as I was serving, it's just been, I don't know everything. And I need to learn and I need to find out from other churches and other leaders and all other people that have been anointed, like, you know, what have they been doing? Like, how they've been searching after, like, God's will? How they've been listening to him better than me? And so that's been something this year that I've been trying to accept as well as to continue to distribute. So.
It's funny, as you mature and get older, you realize more and more, like, oh man, I was so naive when I was a kid. I was arrogant. I was like, oh yeah, I can see it better. But really, it's you don't see the full picture when you're younger. There's so much more to it, and then it's like, oh, you get older. Okay, now I kind of get it. Or that was my experience, at least.
Can I add to that? Like, there's also this mentality, like, going around, like, the young kids don't want to work hard. And it's just, they just don't know better, right? Like what you said. And I think, like, being able to give them a chance, like, I got a chance to learn how to work hard, how to get better. I've gotten a chance to make people become better and find themselves better at an earlier age, you know? And so I think that's been key. And, you know, at least in my experience in the church, it's always been a struggle, you know, because it's kind of like, the leadership doesn't want to give the reins up yet because they're afraid of the mistakes that the younger generation will make. But then also they don't want to take the time necessarily to invest to say, hey, let me train you properly, but then also give you the freedom to express yourself.
So that's cool.
Yeah, I really like how you are showing, you know, ministry doesn't only happen in a ministry context, right? It doesn't just happen at church while you're actually doing ministering to other people. It can happen in your workplace. It can happen outside. It can happen to, you know, your friends' kids or different things, taking our faith outside the walls. And, you know, one of the things that you had mentioned about kind of raising up the next generation of leaders is something that we are really trying to pour more energy into as a church. And that's one of the reasons why this past Sunday for our multi-gen service, we had Sean give his first message. And he did a bulk of the message for this past Sunday. But we're really trying to step into more raising up the next generation of leaders and pouring into them and giving them opportunities to, you know, give sermons, serve, do things like that. And so, you know, just want to give a shout out to Sean. He did a great job this past Sunday. And
it was cool to see him up there. But I thought it was interesting, Josh, what you were just sharing was, you know, like some of the younger kids, they just don't know any better. And I think that actually ties in with what we talked about at church yesterday. We are recording on a Monday, was the expectations. I think for some of the younger kids, they just don't have expectations put on them in a healthy way. Maybe they have had poor expectations put on them. But that's kind of what we were talking about on Sunday about, hey, did Jesus meet people's expectations? And what are our expectations as we enter into the Christmas season? Are we actually expecting to encounter Jesus and that? So, Damon, I'm going to kick it to you first since you were part of, you know, the message delivery. I thought you did a really good job of wrapping up after Sean spoke too. What was it about highlighting that part of Jesus about expectations? Like what was it that you were trying to get people to wrestle with?
I mean, I think the main thing that I wanted people to wrestle with is, are our expectations of who Jesus is aligned with who Jesus actually is? Right? And I don't want us to be the type of people like we talked about in the Bible that missed out on the Messiah coming because they were expecting someone different. Right? And so, you know, I really do appreciate, Kyle, how you had kind of brought out like the expectations with our kids, because I think that that's something that we're trying to do culturally and shifting is raising our expectation for our kids and what they can do. And that's one reason that we do have multi-gen service, is because we want to show that, you know, these kids can sit through a service. We don't just have to entertain them the whole time. We don't have to have something separate for them, but they can participate as younger members of our congregation and be a part of our church and sit through a service, you know, participate in a sermon, do those types of things, because we want to raise them up to be adult members of our congregation too, and not just always looking at them at like little kids. And I think that's something culturally, it's just part of the culture nowadays. It's like kids don't want to grow up, right? They want to stay little kids for a long time. And part of that is the expectation that we're placing on them.
I love that you guys are being intentional about it. I think that's probably something that, and this is something that I've been like kind of struggling with too. Like when I was growing up in an Asian American church, like the older generation didn't want to relinquish that and always wanted them to always be the kids, you know? And I think that's why so many of the younger generation left, you know, and because they just never knew how to be in that space. Or never allowed to. And I think that's really good of your church to acknowledge that and to really prepare them, but also like to see the potential grow, you know?
Yeah, it comes with its own challenges and struggles, but if you're persistent in stepping into it, you see the fruit and the potential out of it. And it definitely is worth it, but it's, even on the staff side, it's like, oh man, this is, it presents challenges, but it's really cool when you see, like, even for like Sean being up there, I thought he had great presence, and he's raw, right? There's some I don't know how to say it, but I say flaws, but like you can tell it's just, there's just not a lot of development in his,
he's not polished yet.
Yeah, but it's at the same time, it's like, oh, but there's an anointing on him. Like he's up there. People can still connect with him, even though there's a rawness to his preparation and his delivery. It's like, oh, there's something there. So I think it's really awesome that we were able to do that. And I think that actually helps the kids stay engaged. Seeing somebody that's so much closer to their age, like, oh, what does he have to say? Yeah. Go ahead, Damon.
Oh, I was going to say, and I think, personally, I saw some of the fruit of yesterday, and during the second worship set, I was getting these text messages, and I looked at them later, and they were people, different people in our congregation were sending me pictures of Riley during the second worship set. And kind of fun side note, Josh and Riley have the same birthday. But but they're sending me pictures of Riley, and she's worshiping with her hands up. And Pastor Jenny was praying for her. And it was just like a very genuine moment of her just giving her whole self to the Lord in that worship. And then, I mean, I couldn't see that because she was in the front. And so it really touched me. And then afterwards, it was cool because there was a visitor family that had come that was sitting next to Pastor Robert and Pastor Jenny. And Pastor Jenny had Riley praying for them afterwards, too.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, this is pretty, like, amazing, just the way that our culture is moving and what is happening with some of the kids, right? And so personally, it really blessed me that it's my own daughter that this is happening with. But, yeah, it was just a special time for me, too.
Yeah, I think it's cool that adults can see a willing and kind of pliable heart that they can then approach that way and say, hey, I think God wants you to go pray for this person. Because it takes some courage on the adult side, too, to step into or expose the child into that area where it could backfire and it could be not such a good thing. But, yeah, no, Pastor Robert and Jenny are really, really cool.
It was funny. I asked Riley, like, what happened? Like, how did that all come together? And so she said, yeah, after she prayed for me and then after service, she said, I prayed for you. Now you have to go pray for someone else. So then she took her off.
I love it.
I just want to apologize because she's taken a lot of me in her. I warned Damon already because she has the same birthday as me.
Yeah, we kind of jokingly call them doppelgangers. Riley is Josh's doppelganger.
It's weird because we were there at the hospital when she was born.
Yeah.
And so it was just like, all right, well, get yourself ready, Damon.
You left an impartation.
What a way for Josh to celebrate his birthday was welcoming Riley into the world.
Yeah. And then I just started to see characteristics of myself. I was like, oh, no.
So I got a question for you, Damon, for the whole basketball number one draft picks that we think we did didn't meet expectations. I'm not going to go into the Clipper side of it. I'm just going to go into whose idea was that? Was that yours or was that Sean's? And I liked how that played out because I think it reached people in a different way, tying it into Jesus. And I thought he did a really good job of, you know, bringing in Steph Curry. Like, oh, he wasn't the highest expectations, but look what he's exceeded that. And he definitely was saying, oh, I'm not equating him to Jesus. But I thought, oh, this is cool. It's bringing pop culture. It's bringing like current stuff for people, but then set for them to wrestle with, oh, the whole expectation idea. So how did that come about?
Well, it wasn't super current because the kids that he invited didn't know who Magic Johnson is. So, I mean, everybody else knew who he was, but yeah, with the kids, they didn't know. But I mean, really, that was Sean. Sean was the one that came up with that.
I kind of figured, but I was curious to see.
Yeah, so kind of some behind the scenes look at how this whole thing came about. Originally, when we were talking about preparing for this message, I told Sean, like, in my mind, I want to give him the freedom and the leeway to be creative. And so I was thinking, you know, if we think about it, a message in terms of like a 3-point message, I'll do point one, he could do point two, I'll do point three and wrap it up, right? Just to give him enough where he doesn't feel overwhelmed, right? So kind of up until Saturday evening, that was still my kind of idea and plan. And he goes, okay, I'm going to keep working on it tonight. And I wake up on Sunday morning and I look at the document that we were sharing and he had all of this stuff on it. And I was like, whoa, he put in a lot of time and a lot of effort into this and it's good. It's good stuff. So I was like, I could change what I'm going to do and I can change how I'm going to do it. Cause I think what he is going to bring is going to be really good. And I just want to honor what the Lord is doing and speaking to him too. And so, yeah, that was his idea on doing just the NBA draft picks and if they lived up to it. And, you know, when we brought Josh in, we kind of shared with him a little bit about that activity and told him some of the names. And he's like, oh, Michael Olowokandi, you put him on there.
should have put
Kwame Brown more for the fact that Jordan was the one that was behind that choice. You think, oh, if Jordan's going to make that choice, there's something special, right?
Well, it revealed a lot. So a lot of either your player, your coach, or your management. You can't be all three. It's too rare.
It's very rare, yeah.
But yeah, so I had to get some redemption in and throw Blake Griffin in there, but.
I think it's really cool to use that pop culture reference because I don't think we realize the emotion that's attached to it, especially when we're talking about like our relationship to the expectations that we have for Jesus, especially for the season. You know, and I think we need to take ourselves away from how the church back then has taught us like how we should feel about it versus like experiencing like the true joy, like how we know it. You know what I mean? And so it's the same thing with food. It's like people have so many emotions when it comes to that.
I heard you're a big food guy.
Yes.
Wait, a food connoisseur or food prep or both? Or
I don't know. Damn, what would you consider it?
I would say both.
Both?
You know, so some people in our church call him Uncle Meat.
You're a smoker? that kind of thing? Like you like to smoke meat and... Not smokers. After I said that, I'm like, oh, that could be taken different ways.
Yeah. No, not so much. We have another guy in our group that does the smoking.
Okay.
But, I mean, just growing up through college and just, like, my whole childhood was, like, all about feeding people, right?
Okay.
And that was the connection. And, like, you know, from early on, my grandparents who fed me, just fond memories of, like, them introducing me to like some of the greatest stuff that I've ever still crave like nowadays, right? And then like college was just bringing everybody together, having a big fat piece of protein on the table, and then we all share it together and everyone was fed. And so I think just that and the conversations to be had around it, and just listening, praying for each other, that was like a great opportunity. And still like this is part of the reason why like even our group now with Damon and all our other college friends, we're still hanging out. We're still like doing stuff together. We're still there during the hard times and the good times, you know?
Yeah. So that is one of the directions I did think that we would take this episode, is going down the direction of food and things, because, you know, we are in a season of preparing for Christmas and we're in the Advent season. And I think one of the things that's been highlighted to me recently is our need to prepare our hearts for the coming of the birth of the King, right? And, you know, it's so easy during the season to think of all the things we have to do, all the events we have to plan, all the activities we have to do, all the presents we have to get, all the, you know, pictures, just so many different things that are going on during this season. And I feel like the Lord's been just really highlighting, like, we need to prepare. And so in a similar way, you know, when you have a gourmet meal or a really nice piece of meat, you don't want to just throw it together at the last minute. You have to take the time to put in to prepare it and get it ready for the meal that's coming. And so I thought, who better to talk about that than Josh?
You know, it's funny. It's like the best meals that I've had in my life are the ones prepared with love, right? And I've seen people like just plan and plan everything about the meal. And it's probably the same thing like with the worship set too. It's like so precious to you, even with all the preparations. But you just don't allow it to really grow. And it's the same thing. Like, I think that's going to apply towards preparing our hearts for Jesus this season. It has to be out of love. We can't just plan it out, like, every day or just treat it so, like, you know, just, I don't know, like, what the word is, but.
Like checking boxes off the list or things like that.
It's stale, kind of.
Yeah. Oh, fun fact. I introduced a Christian term, creaster, to my wife like this past year. She didn't know what it was.
Okay.
And so it's those people that just show up for Christmas and Easter.
Okay. I hadn't heard that before either. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, where are you going with this?
But yeah, it's just, I really hope people take the time. Like if you prepare like food with love, do the same thing as you're preparing your hearts for this Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be opportunities. Like we're talking at my church yesterday, just about how there's going to be opportunities that come up. You know, are we doing things out of love? Are we doing things in those moments and being aware to look out for those things, you know? And just being the example and the light that God wanted us to be.
I think that's what's really special about both Christmas and Easter is there's a ramp up season to it, right? Like there's a build up and anticipation. Christmas, I think, a little bit more than Easter, but it affords us that opportunity to then to like build into that desire and that connection. Or we could just miss it and just be like, oh, it's just Christmas Day. It's coming. Yeah, whatever. Count down to Christmas, and I'll get to it Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But if you pour into it throughout and make it more of a journey, and it makes it more of a kind of like you said, like a love affair, where you get the depth and the connection. I think we're going to try to do that a little bit different with Easter this year. So I think just trying to give people that experience of it's not just the day or just the moment, but like look at the buildup to it. I was kind of thinking in my mind of, so I'm not a food person. I mean, I like eating nice food and stuff, but I don't like to take the time to prep. Like give me something simple, easy. That's more of like my mentality. So I appreciate people. When I hear how long it takes sometimes to do meal, I'm like, oh man, thank you for doing that, because I couldn't do it. But I'm thinking of in my mind, like, okay, I like to golf and I like to go practice, right? If I don't practice, then I'll still have some good shots, but I'm not going to play as well. But if I practice more, I'm going to play better. But it doesn't mean that I'm actually going to enjoy it. I still have to have the right mentality of like, am I out here to enjoy it and enjoy the people and enjoy the environment? Or am I only about the score or the shots, right? So I've had at times where I've shot really good and I'm like, but I didn't feel like it was a fun round, or I didn't enjoy it. But then there's times where I'm like, oh, I didn't feel it. I actually shot better than I thought, but I'm like, but it was really enjoyable. I'm like, well, I actually shot that good. I just felt like I was having fun. So I think no matter what it is, if it's food or whatever, I think those things can definitely apply to our spiritual life too. Of like, we need to put the work in, but we don't. But God doesn't want it to be about the work. But that's there for a purpose, and it's there to make it deeper and more meaningful. So maybe we could just comment a little bit on, is there things that you guys do personally or as a family that kind of deepen your, especially for Christmas, since we're in the Christmas season, are there things that you do that really have that connection or that make Christmas special?
In a spiritual sense or just in practice?
Could be both. Yeah, I mean, definitely something on the spiritual sense too, but just something that even that relational, like there's some just get-togethers with that for family, it makes the relational part deeper.
We do have a weird tradition in my family. We've had complications because the rest of my family are food obsessed as well, and so we fought a lot about what we're gonna have on the menu.
Nice.
I have 7 brothers and sisters.
Oh wow. You know,
not as much as the Poons, but still. But we had to come out with a creative way, and my sister decided that we're gonna play bingo at Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And so whoever wins bingo gets to decide what we get to make for Christmas.
Oh, so like the overall theme or like, okay.
The overall theme. And then in that way, we were able to support each other. And it also gave an opportunity for like to witness, because we have a couple in-laws that are not saved.
Okay.
And so it was a good opportunity for them to see us work together. Because before it was just us fighting all the time. And so, but it's been fun. And then the kids now that they're old enough, I have a nephew who loves Wabba Grill.
Okay.
And so he's waiting for his turn, and the rest of us are dreading it. But if he wins, that's what we're getting for Christmas.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. But spiritually, I think preparing, I wanted to treat it the same way that I prepare food. So I start thinking about Christmas and like the opportunities that are coming. Mm. And especially, I work at Costco too, for those that don't know. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to prepare myself for that interaction and the intensity of it all. Mm. Because you truly get tested during this time, because you know, you get to,
because Costco is just crazy during Christmas time.
There's an
intensity,
you
though.
You don't have to sugarcoat it. Costco gets crazy during Christmas time.
Well, if you want to test your faith, you go work there, okay? You got to know if you're a believer or not, because other people will see it. They'll see your light, your patience, they'll hear your words, and they'll see your actions. So, but I start in October and I start thinking about it, I start looking ahead. And so, same thing with planning food. I got to think about myself. Like, am I ready? Mm. You know, have I done enough? Or what am I lacking? Or what's coming my way that's going to be a distraction? Mm. you know? And so I feel better about the season, especially with my interactions with my family, with my spouse. Because it was a tough time because I would take on so much during this time, especially during ministry. And it was taxing on my marriage, you know? And I had to say, I need boundaries. And so once we did that, and once you start talking about not only like, you know, church services and different like ministries that were going on, because we did like a coffee on the lawn type of thing for the community, and that was a lot. We started to grow a lot stronger and a lot better. And so that was another way to prepare myself during that time, because I didn't think it was tough. I just thought I wasn't doing enough, you know.
That's good. Good word. How about you, Damon?
I think for me, I mean, it seems like we're always go, 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 go. So I think for me, a lot of it is just more being intentional about taking the time to kind of separate from all the go, 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 which is not easy because I can be a go, go, go person too. So I think for me, a lot of times, and I think that's why God's been highlighting the preparation portion is just, it's so easy for me to get caught up in the doing, get caught up in all of the activities, get caught up in the checklists, that I do need to prepare my heart. Because there's been a lot of Christmases where it's like, this doesn't feel right. There's something that doesn't feel right about the season. Like, it should be more than what it is. And I feel like that's why God's been highlighting, like, you haven't been preparing your heart in the right way. And so, yeah, really this season, I do feel like the Lord's been just saying, take the time, start preparing now. And yeah, it's not easy, but I do feel like the Lord is doing something. And I feel like he's been highlighting just, even you had mentioned it earlier, Kyle, the prepping for Easter, you know. And so that's something that as a church, now that we have our new facility, we're talking about, are there things that we can do to help better prepare us for Easter as well, right? And so just even in each of the different significant, times in our church or holidays or different things, are we doing, are there more things that we could be doing to prepare for them and prepare our hearts for them? And not just prepare like, okay, we got to make sure the decorations are all right, or we got to make sure that, you know, we have all the right people in the right places, but it's, are our hearts prepared for what the Lord wants to do in that season?
Yeah, I find myself, and I think this is partly why I have a hard time preparing like food type of things. I'm not future oriented. So when you were talking about preparing in October, I'm like, oh man, that's a stretch for me.
It might be a little easier at Costco too, because they start putting out all the Christmas stuff in
July.
In July. Yes.
But yeah, so if you're seeing it, but it's like, it's a reminder like, oh, as much as I'm more present oriented, like there's faults with, not faults, but there's like a side like where I need to be stretched to be like forward thinking a little bit more, because things come quickly. And then it's like, there's a balance, or there's a benefit to putting that time and that preparation in that you don't see, or not that I don't see it. I think as I'm getting older, I see the value in it, but it's, some of it's just ways I'm just used to operating. So it's like, oh, trying to stretch myself in that area.
I just lost it.
It's all right. Josh had a thought. He was going to go there, and then I thought you were going to start getting emotional. Like you were just catching yourself. And I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes.
You guys have done this for me now.
we told Josh before we started recording, because I'm going to talk long enough till you get it back, and then you're going to like raise your hand again, that we don't edit. So we have some moments like, yeah, sometimes we have these awkward moments, and it's like, it's just,
and it's
we're,
okay.
We're just raw
talk about,
yeah,
it.
It's just the way it is. yeah, I think I'm seeing it. My kids are getting a little bit older. When we were younger, in some ways it was easier because kids get connected to Christmas easier. It can be definitely tied into the commercial aspect, but I thought we did a good job of keeping it spiritual based. But as they've gotten older, not that we don't highlight it, but there's just not that same draw that a young kid has with Christmas. And So I do feel like, oh, that's a season that's not necessarily past, but it's shifted. And so now we kind of have to do a little bit different. So we've, the last couple of years, we've been more intentional, like going to my parents' church on Christmas Eve, and they do a nice like orchestra candlelight service. And it's just like, oh yeah, our kids can appreciate that more now that they're a little bit older. Whereas before it'd be like, oh, just keep them busy and occupied just to make it through. And so I think there's different ways you can kind of prepare yourself and connect with the season too, that you kind of have to be ready to make adjustments as life kind of goes along.
Okay, I just remembered.
All right.
So thank you, Kyle. That worked. Yeah. That 100% worked. But I was just thinking about, like, I appreciate that we're highlighting the importance because, you know, my wife's really good at this. She helped me understood, like, if you really love something or if you really had the importance of something, mm-hmm. who would spend the time for it? Like, what do you spend the most time on, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if we really wanted to prepare our hearts for Christmas and during this season, like, what were we doing to prepare at all, you know? It's another example that was given. I don't know if everyone knows. Is like, you know, if you want to see if your heart is truly about God, what's your checkbook say?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, even when we're
well, your checkbook or your calendar or yeah,
exactly. So, what are you spending the most time on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you have so much time in a day, a year. What is it focused on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so yeah, I think if once we start to bring the mirror back to us, we can understand, like, are we really getting ourselves ready? Like, what's, why do we have a disconnect and why it's not important? You know what I mean? Like, what do we do for things that are important?
Mm.
Right? So.
Oh, Damon's giving me the head nod. Oh, shoot.
I just think you had a lot of good stuff to say, so I want to keep hearing it.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, please.
I got this random fact I've never heard about Christmas. So it was... It was a podcast I was listening to, kind of, what were they even talking about? It was something related to Christmas, but I had never heard this before. Tell me if you guys have. It was talking about, like Christmas is like a made-up holiday, the day, it was all secular. But then they were going back and talking about how it predates a lot of different things, and it actually doesn't have like pagan like origins like some people claim it does. And I had never heard this, but this is one theory that why it kind of ended up around December 25th is the holier you are, you would actually die on your birthday. And the even holier is you die when you're conceived. And so, or something like that. So then if Jesus died in the springtime and you go... forward 9 months, like he actually would have been conceived around Christmas time. So that's one theory of how it came out. And I was like, oh, I don't, it's just, they don't know for sure, but it makes a little bit more sense of if it's in the Christmas time, but some of the story seems like it's not winter. It seems like it's a different season. I don't know. There was just, so he might've been conceived in the Christmas, like that time. Cause that would have been the way they would have said that's his actual birth, time. And I was like, oh, I never heard of that. I didn't dig into any of the facts behind it, but I thought, oh, that, there is some thought of how the date came around. So I don't know. Just any thoughts or comments about Christmas season?
As far as like fun facts?
Or things like that, like of how it came about.
I mean, I think one of the things that I'd been thinking about, because people were saying like, He wouldn't have been born in the winter or things like that.
Yeah, because the shepherds, that was one of the things, shepherds wouldn't have been around then. They would have been, yeah, it was too cold.
But then thinking about like where we are geographically and where Israel is geographically, it's like just different, right? The weather patterns are different, everything's different. But we're looking at it through the context of ourselves and where we're at right now.
Right.
And so yeah, I was like, okay, I understand the thinking behind it, but it's like, are we looking at it through a different lens than it should actually be looked at through because of where we are right now?
Well, on that one, they said that the shepherding season would go end in like October, November-ish, and then start again like later. So they wouldn't even be out in that time. So I'm like, I don't know. They brought in some historical stuff too. So I thought, oh, it was more for me just some curiosity. I thought the biggest part was more of how they were combating the... oh, this started with a pagan tradition, and then the Christians just tagged onto it. And I thought how they were going back before that, and so I thought, oh, okay, they're actually proving that it's things, some of these traditions were around before, like, more pagan things.
Mm-hmm. Don't pull me that direction, because that's my favorite part, because I was learning about all that and Krampus and all that stuff, so we won't go there. Okay.
Well, one of the things that I didn't have a chance or time-wise to do that I was thinking that we would talk or not talk about that we would include in the sermon yesterday was, you know, as a church, we've never done Advent candles.
Mm.
And so I was actually thinking we might do that yesterday in the sermon and start doing some Advent candles as we prepare, because there's a lot of churches that do, you know, the week after Thanksgiving till Christmas, they'll light Advent candles. And each of the Advent candles represents a different aspect and theme of the season, right? So the first one is hope, right? And the second one is peace. And so, you know, again, this is 2 weeks after Thanksgiving, so we're kind of, we would have done two in one shot. And I don't even know if it would have gotten continued after that. So it's probably okay that we didn't go in that direction. But you know, I felt like that was something that the Lord was highlighting again, was just this whole preparation thing, right? And so even in thinking about it, it's like, oh, are we preparing and recognizing the different themes that the Lord has for us? Because I think some of these themes, hope and peace, I think those are more relevant and more needed today than they ever have been, right? There's so much stuff going on in our world that seems like it's full of despair, that people need hope, right? And Jesus came to bring hope to the world. And there's so much, right? We keep hearing there's so much anxiety. There's so much other stuff going on, stress, that we need some peace, right? And so in recognizing what the season is bringing, it's like, yeah, the Lord wants to give us hope. The Lord wants to give us peace because the world needs it. And so this is a way that we can recognize some of the things that the Lord is doing in the coming of Jesus to the world.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because like when I think of hope, especially for this past year, it's crazy to think about it, but the fires were at the beginning of this year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like right after that, I didn't know what to expect, especially around the area, especially with it being so, I grew up here, and so I've never seen at least the gathering in the organization that responded to the people that needed help so fast. And it really encouraged me, from believers to non-believers, getting together just to help people. You know, for the sake of helping people, like donating, even when times were tight, right? And doing whatever they could. It was really encouraging to see. Mm. So, like, things like that. I think when we see opportunities like that and we take advantage of it, maybe next year somehow, you know, and we're talking about preparing our hearts. This season, it's probably the busiest time for volunteers, like for soup kitchens and everything else like that. But it's busy because there's so many volunteers and they don't need them. I know this because our church, we did a soup kitchen in Long Beach for about a couple years. And it was just, we were like just a group of 10. And so we didn't need help during the Christmas time, you know, but we needed help the rest of the year. You know, so I don't know if like maybe that this could be like a challenge if people really want to see an opportunity, pray for one that, you know, God would speak to you as far as like your heart for next year, like what kind of practicality action that you guys can have towards that end, you know, like what would be the result of us preparing our hearts for Jesus this season? What would it look like? You know, is there something, you know, that God has been calling us to do that's more than just this season?
Yeah, I mean, the preparation for this season is for a purpose, but then that preparation doesn't just end. I mean, that season ends, but the preparation is just ongoing. That's just part of our journey with the Lord and discipleship and becoming more like Jesus, right?
Yeah, right.
That's a good word.
And I think that's a good lead into some of the themes for the early part of next year for our church, right? We're going to be going into a season of serving and talking about serving. And so I do think that that is something that's been kind of on the heart of our leadership, is giving people more opportunities and more challenge to step out and serve in our church, but also in the community as well.
I did want to say one thing about the Advent calendars. I'm pretty sure we did it at least once when we were at Stanford.
The candles?
Uh-huh.
Oh, we did? Okay.
But it's different when you're set up in takedown. It's not, I don't know, it's just, it wasn't the same effect, but I remember doing it once. But I remember my kid's school does it. When they were younger, we would go to every Wednesday nights they would do it and go through it as well. And it is cool. It brings in those different aspects. And so next year, Damon's going to be leading that part. I already nominated him. He's going to be nice. Doing the Advent calendar or Advent candles. Candles, not calendar. Sorry. My kids have an Advent calendar from Costco right now that they're doing every morning.
It's not the fun alcohol one, is it?
Come on. My kids aren't that old.
Okay.
I did see they had one of those. I'm like, dude, like a whiskey one or something. They have something. No, they have the Lego Star Wars one, I think. But sorry.
See, you are old. People are thinking your kids are a lot older than they are. Seriously.
You're sharing the grief, whiskey advent calendar with your kids.
Thanks a lot, Josh. where were you going with that? I'm like, I'm throwing this comment, and then I'm going to comment on what you just shared. And like, oh, now I lost my train of thought. What was your last thought?
I don't know. I'm going to throw it
off. Whiskey on the mind.
Sorry about that. Because for me, whenever people talk about advent calendar, since I work at Costco, yeah. All I'm thinking about is like, all we have are alcoholic calendars, you know? And then we have a chocolate one. So which one is it, you know?
The Lego. Dude, they have like variety of Lego ones now. They just... They sell out fast.
Maybe it's brand new. I haven't seen it.
No, this is like our fourth year getting it from there. Come on, man. You work at Costco. I even know that.
Let's I understand. Go. But
Costco's
like maybe
a big place.
Like
they got a lot of stuff there.
It goes by fast, too. It's crazy.
All right.
Fun fact. That's why I have to get my holiday stamps like as soon as they come out. Like the
they
first,
go out fast.
Yeah. In the past, I've missed out, and I've gotten a little bit of heat for missing out on the holiday stamps.
You can still go to the post office. It's not that much of a savings at Costco.
But, yes. So, like, middle of November when they come out, it's like, oh, I got to get that right now. I don't want to miss it this year. So,
can I tell you a little bit of history behind that? we used to have it all the way through the season. I've been with Costco for about 20 years. And, like, we had to learn that we had to cut it off. Because, like, we like to just sell through the products instead of holding it so long.
Yeah.
But with the stamps, the holiday stamps, we had it all the way through, like, January for some reason. And so we had to, like...
People didn't want them anymore.
No,
like,
they
no,
didn't.
I don't
they
want
didn't need
one.
It. They're not sending it out anymore. Right. So... Because, like, nobody's mailing out cards anymore.
Right.
So it's like, okay, let's cut it down. Let's not hold on to
my
this.
My holiday card stamps for my February mail that's going out.
Hey, do you guys have... Sorry. But what do you guys do with the holiday cards? How long do you guys hold on to it for? Is there an etiquette behind this?
Yes, it's all year. You gotta do it all year.
Oh, are you kidding me, Kyle?
my closet is full of bags of each year's holiday cards.
Really?
So
no. We actually dump ours.
we can go
there's
back
a,
in the
there's
archive.
A few we keep, some family ones. We turn one of our doors into a mural for that season. We tape them up. So then you see everybody's on the wall, on the door. So it's kind of fun, but it's sometime in early January, I think they come down.
I caught one of my friends just reusing the photo for like the past 5 years. Like the kids have not grown up.
That friend will remain nameless.
I think all of our old ones are still on my parents' fridge at home, so at their house. So
family is different. Yeah,
we got years and years and years of them. My kids growing up on holiday cards on the fridge.
We have that in Mimo's family too. All right, we gotta circle this one back. Damon, are we ready to be on the winding down part? Do you have other topics that you wanted to bring up, or
you're the host today?
I know, but you kind of took over. So I'm kind of just checking in with you if there's stuff you wanted to. Did we hit the main topics that you wanted to cover?
I mean, I think you know, really the preparation for the season and preparing our hearts for what's coming and not missing out on those opportunities this year, you know, kind of like the people that missed out on Jesus because their expectation was for him to be someone that he wasn't, right? Mm-hmm. And so to recognize what the Lord is doing in this season and how are we stepping into the ways that he wants us to prepare, you know. And it's so easy, you know, the ways of the world and the ways that the enemy wants to distract us and push us towards other things and get us to forget what the reason for the season is and, you know, just to really, you know, take a step back, take some of that time and to just sit with the Lord and say, you know, what do you have for me today? Mm. And that's really kind of the crux of where we went yesterday in the sermon was, you know, really, there's only one thing I have to do today, right? And the rest will take care of itself. But the one thing that I have to do today is follow him, right? And so, you know, I really love that scene from The Chosen where it's, you know, Matthew talking to the centurion and, you know, the centurion's coming, it's Gaius, and he's saying, you know, I'm so stressed out. There's so many different things going on in my life. And Matthew's kind of relating to him, and he says, but when those things happen, I just have to remember there's only one thing I have to do today, and that's follow him. And then everything else will take care of itself. And so, you know, in the midst of a busy Christmas season with a bunch of checklists, a bunch of things that we got to do, you know, those a lot of times those things will take care of themselves, right? And really the one thing that we have to do is follow him. And when we do that, I think that will shift and shape our perspective and our attitudes. And we'll be able to enjoy it and experience those things in a different way.
So, Josh, any closing thoughts just on preparation? But I'm going to throw that out to you, but I'll share something first. I think it's good to remember that Christmas and Easter are the times when people are most open. So as you're preparing and looking for opportunities, like know that people right at this time of year are more open and more curious. I'll just share a quick little story. Like last week I was able to go golf with a couple of guys from church. And we had a foursome set, but one of them got sick. So then we got paired with a single, nice young guy, just one year out of high school, one or two, and super chatty. So I was in a cart by myself. So he and I ended up talking quite a bit together. Long story short, I just kind of just threw some stuff. Hey, what do you guys do for Christmas? Like, do you guys? Oh yeah, my grandma used to do a lot of stuff, but she's passed away, so we don't do a lot anymore. I'm like, well, how about spiritual stuff? Do you guys do? And just kind of threw some stuff out there. And after I asked that question about spiritual, it wasn't too much longer in the conversation. He goes, "Hey, you know what? But I actually want to get to know God more or pursue God." So I was like, "Oh, okay." So, you know, this is like over like 5 or 6. This is like on the back nine. So we had already kind of chatted for a while, and then I started asking, and it was cool. I was able to kind of pray for him, give him some words, and just encourage him. And he said his girlfriend goes to church, and I said, "Yeah, dude, just go explore, go." There were some other stories I can't get into, but it was really cool. I felt like that's an example of this season brings something out in people where, yeah, there's something about Jesus. There's something about him, and I kind of want to know more about him.
And that's why they have terms like creasters.
But they don't have to stay that way.
Yeah. No,
right?
They do not.
So I think that's somewhat on us too. Like we have to be the ones to step in and throw those little arrows of God, those arrows of truth to be like, oh, that's going to hit somewhere.
Yeah. I think it's just, like you said, the preparation. Like, if we're intentional with it, I think, especially throughout the whole year, we're going to be ready for those moments. And I don't think people are, when they think about it, they just think of the pamphlet or they think of other things that, you know, we've trained in the past, but they haven't put it to use yet. And so that's the hard part, like, especially when we're saying prepare. And looking for those opportunities when God presents it to us. But also remember, it's consistency as well as how much are you willing to invest, you know? Because I think a lot of times we just put it out there. We say, you know, love God or you need Jesus and then walk away, you know? And that's not what God's calling us to do.
That's good. All right. Well, I guess I am the host now, so I have to close. So I have the final words. Shoot, I don't have the mute button in front of me. If Damon could get a last word in, I should mute him, and then I could say whatever I want. He can't rebut. But, yeah, this is good. This is a good conversation. Josh, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I want to hear more. Well, we'll talk some more off recording about some things.
I've been holding back.
I think I made a couple of connections when you shared some stuff. I'm like, oh, because Damon's, you know, shared different stories about friend trips and the things. I'm like, oh, I think I've heard some stories about.
I might be that guy.
Okay, not bad. More food related, I think. But I thought, oh, okay, this is cool. It's good to meet you. Thanks. And thanks for coming on. And Damon, thanks for setting it up.
anytime. I do have.
Shoot, I let him get a word in.
You should mute him now.
I should have just kept going. You know, I do this stuff to him all the time. I get the last word in.
You know, I do want to leave this episode kind of in a similar with a similar challenge as I did in the sermon yesterday or message yesterday, with you know, what are you expecting this Christmas? Mm. Are you expecting a lot of activities? Are you expecting to have a stressful season? Are you expecting a lot of presents, or are we expecting to meet the risen King? Because this is an opportunity, you know. A lot of times churches and in our church, we'll have a Christmas service and we'll play it up and we'll spend a lot of time with family. But the Christmas season is to recognize that God, the creator of the universe, came to earth to be with us, right? And so are we expecting that, mm-hmm. that God wants to be with us? Mm-hmm. And are we expecting him to meet him and to experience him and to be with him and to experience his presence with us regularly? And it's not just on Christmas, but it's every day. He wants mm-hmm. to be with us. So is that part of our expectation, or are we just expecting, you know, it's going to be another Christmas Sunday and the kids are going to look cute and we're going to get a lot of presents and we're going to get a lot of Christmas cards, or, you know, or are we expecting to meet the creator of the universe?
Yeah, that's like on a daily basis, like yep. you were mentioning, like it's special to do it this time of year and this season. But yeah, that's what God wants for us every day of the year. So,
and I want to give a shout out to Pastor Robert for his term hemeron, which means daily, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what the Lord wants for us daily. He wants to be with us each day. So I want to say thanks to you, Josh, again, too.
No, thanks for inviting me, Damon. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for risking it.
All right.
Well, it all paid off because, you know, we just really enjoyed this conversation.
Thanks
to all the listeners out there. We appreciate you.
So am I the host or am I not the host? I'm going to close it.
Oh, you want to give? Oh,
good grief, man. I've been rehearsing it in my head this whole time. Like, how does Damon close it?
I love this right now.
Shoot.
I needed to give you some time to practice in your head.
I've had time.
Wait, is this the first time you've actually done it?
Yeah, because the other times I've like froze. Like, oh, man, how does Damon end it?
All right. So Sean made his debut yesterday. Kyle is making his debut today.
So to our listeners, thank you for listening. And until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.